Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And I put a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Welcome you to Blog Talk Radio, livedeliverance.com. And my name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would like to go ahead and get some paper and a pen so you can write down any questions or comments that you might have during the broadcast, and we'll see if we can address those at the end. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous words, things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, and let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, revealed to us and draw us into the Father's presence, where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds, and as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives, cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, beloved, we would like to get into part three of And the Glory of the Lord. You know, I am understanding and seeing more and more every day that the glory of the Lord is what's supposed to be in our life. God planned it that way. He's always included the glory into our life to answer every situation, every challenge that we could ever face. The word glory appears 402 times in the Bible. This tells me that God has a revelation of us from his glory for every single day of the year. As we dig in a little further, we find that the word glory appears 53 times in the book of Psalms alone, which is in the center of the Bible. Well, it could be that God wants us to understand that his glory should be the central focus of our life. The word glory, kabod, the word glory is defined as honor, glory, abundance, riches, splendor, dignity, reputation, and reverence. David is a man that functioned as a king. He functioned in that glory. So then we've been made kings and priests. So then would it not be wise for us to function in that glory? Let the glory respond. See, I'm finding that most of the times we don't believe that we should even be someone that can participate in the glory. Because, you know, you got a scripture in the Bible that says God will not share his glory with another. And that's 100% true. You are not another, beloved. You are his. You came out of him. You are his idea. Okay? This is why you are here. You were created according to scripture. Revelation chapter 4, it says that you were created for his good pleasure. Okay? So then if you were created for his good pleasure, all right, then why would he not want you to enjoy the glory that causes the pleasure to come to pass? I mean, this is just a Selah moment right there. He's created and given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Would glory be a thing that pertains to life? Yes, I believe it would be. So then since that is the case, then we need to kind of think about allowing the glory of God to answer these situations that we are confronted with. See, you're not here on your own to just do things, you know, by the seat of your pants, by your own will, if you would. I mean, that would be left up to someone that had no plan or purpose for your life. See, if God did not have a plan or a purpose, then you'd have to figure it out, and whatever can be, whatever will be. Que sera, sera. No, the plans that this is what he tells me in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts, the plans that I think towards you. My thoughts are thoughts of peace. They are not thoughts of evil. And my thoughts will bring you to an expected end. So that means he already had the end in mind, didn't he? Otherwise, these thoughts could not bring me to an expected end, could they? They would just have to kind of lead me out there and meandering wherever I end up, I end up. Okay, Sarah, Sarah. But no, see, he has steps that were preordained that we should walk in them. See, so that tells me that God intended for his glory to be utilized in my life every day for every situation. See, Psalms 8 is where we did. This is a little bit of review. I'm going to try to get through this part and go on to the next part. In Psalms 8, because David is the one that meditated, thought about, contemplated about the glory of God that was supposed to be in his life. Listen at this. He says in Psalms 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Did he set the glory out of the reach of man? Is that what that says? No, he was saying that the glory is so great, so immense, that it's above the heavens. He was not trying to keep us out, beloved. If God was trying to keep us out of the things that are good, then why would he tell us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above? Okay? I'm just, sometimes words do that in my heart. You know, they would trigger an understanding that helps me to get to the point where I can function or flow in that, as opposed to always being there arguing with my own heart over something God told me to come into. He invited me into this. I didn't know anything about righteousness. I didn't know anything about holiness. I didn't know anything about victory. The Bible says that he saw me in my own blood, and he spoke to me in my own blood, dying in my own blood, and he said, live. So then if he saw me dying in a mess, hopeless, and he said, live, then he must want me to live, yes? Since God does not mince his words, he's not playing or joking. See? He's not just coming up with vain things that he wants you to hear. He's coming up with a plan that gives you an expected end. And he goes on, David goes on to say, that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. Okay? Okay, so I want you to notice that he's connecting the glory to be utilized in your life out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You have ordained strength because of your enemies, that through what they say with their mouth, they might be able to steal the enemy and the avenger. Okay? So then God says, if I can get you to, first of all, think right, I can get you to speak right, and when you speak right, I can stop the attack. The glory of God is set in place to allow this flow. Can you see that? And David continued to think about this over and over, because you've got to remember that, see, when Scripture was written, it hadn't been lived out after the fact. It was being worked out during the fact. We're looking on the other side of Calvary. Everybody that was in the Old Testament was looking unto Calvary. They heard the promise, but they hadn't seen it worked out. They hadn't seen it being walked out. But because we can see Jesus, he's the author and finisher. Come on now. See, before, he was simply the author in the Old Testament. But when we get to be introduced to Jesus, he is the author and the finisher. Glory to God. He's the one that is already knows what the end is going to be, walks it out so that we can see it and follow him. Okay? See, these are the things that David had to consider, and so it would behoove us to consider them also. But we've been given better promises. Isn't that what the book of Hebrews says? We've been given better promises. Because they are established upon a better established fact, truth. It's we function because Jesus has finished the work. They were functioning because God promised the work. And his word does not come back void. We get to see it. If y'all could just picture this and walk through this in your heart. It's one thing to believe from something that you've never seen before. But we've already seen death, hell, and the grave defeated. See, we're on this side of Calvary. We have, okay, I'll even go this way. We have faith and facts. Amen. These are things that have already happened. Finisher and developer of the faith. Author and finisher of faith. See, we actually have faith and facts. Truth and faith. Okay? Because we can go, we live on the side of the amen of the word. Okay? It has already come to pass. I mean, otherwise, Jesus could not have said it is finished if there was something yet to be done, could he? That would make him a liar. And God is not a man that he should lie. See, we get to review, if you would, and move from the established truth. That's what Peter told us to do. He said that we should be established in the present truth. See, we should just continue. We go back and look at what his word was sent to do, and then we walk in what the word was already finished doing. Jesus was the one that did the work. We're the ones that get to cash the check. Boy, I hope y'all getting this. He has given us a blank check. Glory to God. The deposit has been made in the bank. We get to go to the bank and withdraw the funds. Amen. I mean, just kind of look at it that way. The work has already been done. The Bible says that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. He's already seated there, which means now it's time for payday. He's not working it out anymore. He's already worked it out. For this cause was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. See, he's already done that. We're not trying to get God. It's a bad place in your heart to try to get God to do something that he's already finished. Because if you're trying to get God to do something that he's already finished, you are actively calling God a liar. You're saying, it's not finished, God. It's not working, God. You're actually calling him a liar if you think that's what it's supposed to be. See? He has invited us into a finished work. See, and this is what David was doing. He was considering things. He kept going back to the word and rehearsing it over and over again so that he can cause that word to be settled in his heart so that he would be able to allow pressure to be put on the word. You know, it's an interesting thing, beloved. The circumstances of life are not supposed to put pressure on you. They are supposed to put pressure on the word. Because the word will stand. His truth endures. Your emotional stability, oh, it's not guaranteed, but his word endures. His word is already settled. See, according to what he said in Psalms 89, God says, I will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of my mouth. I'm not going to change it. So then, since the word is alive, it is quick. That's what the word quick means. It means it is a living thing. See? See, since the word is alive, he doesn't have to change it. It works on everything that faces your life. If you would allow the glory of the Lord that has been deposited in your life to work, then you would see the glory. That's what he told Mary and Martha. He said, if I can just get y'all to believe, if I can just get you to believe, you would see resurrection. You would see the power of God. See? Okay. Please, please, please. I say these things and some people just dismiss it. No, he said, if I can get you to believe that what I've done is enough, that I am the resurrection, that I am the truth, that I am the life, if I can get you to believe, not that I will be, not that I want to be, if I can get you to believe that I am the resurrection, that I am the way, that I am the life, then you would see the power of God. See? He didn't say you will work the power of God. I get the scripture that says we're going to work greater works. Amen. I got that. I appreciate that. I'm not trying to go and reinvent the wheel. I'm trying to make the wheel go down the street, if you would. I'm trying to take the wheel down my future's path. Okay? He said if I could believe that he is, somebody needs to write that down. I need to believe that he is. Isn't that what it said in Hebrews chapter 11? You might as well just flip over there and just look at that. Okay? Just look at that so that you can see it, so that we can get a grasp of these things. Okay? This is how we allow the glory of God to settle the things in our life. This is how we do that. If I allow God's word to just be alive on the inside of me, the same word that he spoke, okay. He said he will not alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. That means he wants me to use the same word that he used. It does not need to be altered. In the book of Revelation, it says that if I change it, if I take something away or if I add something to it, then I'm going to come up lacking. Okay? I'll lose my place, if you would. There's so many things you can say from that perspective. See? I will lose the authority that I'm supposed to be walking in. That's my place, isn't it? I understand that it is a futuristic connotation also. That's that. But I'm trying to live, and I lose my authority, I lose my place, don't I? Amen. And the devil knows that I'm not using the same word because I'm using words that he sent me. I'm taking a conversation that I should not be partaking of. Hath God said? I ain't got no business in that question conversation. My conversation should be a declaration, not an inquisition. I shouldn't be asking, hath God said? I should know God hath said. He's asking me to use the same words that he's using. It's the same faith. Isn't that what Jesus told us in Mark chapter 11? He said, have the faith of God. Use his faith. Don't try to bring your faith into this when your faith and his faith is not the same faith. Throw your faith away if it's not his faith. See, David, again, gave us this understanding. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I will not miss the portion, be without a portion, so that I will not sin against you. He didn't say, my understanding of your word. No, I just keep saying your word, God. Your word will not return to you void. Your word will prosper so that your word comes out of my mouth the same as it came out of your mouth, with the same power, with the same authority. See, I'm not trying to make something work. This has already been proved. He's the author and finisher. See? So when I begin to go after the promises of God from that perspective, see, I don't have to have questions in my heart, hoping that I'm going to make something happen some kind of way. See, listen at what he says very carefully. Hebrews chapter 11. Very familiar scriptures, we know it. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. I would like for you to underline, circle, put stars by verse 3. He says, through faith, we understand. Stop. Say that again. The only way God wants you to understand is through faith. Through faith, we understand. Didn't he tell you in Proverbs chapter 3 that you're not supposed to lean to your own understanding? So that he wants you to understand through faith. And how many times in our life have we tried to get an understanding in the natural and then make it work for the spiritual sides of our life? Things that are going to take spiritual power, we try to get them done by natural disposition. We'll even go so far as to say, I don't like that. I mean, yes, I understand God will require a fast. And there are times in my life when I thought that fasting was one of the worst ideas God could ever have. That's because I was trying to understand fasting in the natural. Fasting is a spiritual exercise. It causes you to become acute in hearing so that I can hear the conversations of the spirit more than I hear the conversations of the flesh. The devil came and tried to tempt Jesus with two different conversations. He said, I know you hungry. Here, take these stones and make them bread. He tried to get him to participate in another conversation. Conversations of the natural or of the flesh. And Jesus said, no, get behind me. Depart from here. I don't want to take part in that conversation because I know it is written. This is the faith of God, that which is written, that which comes alive because it is written. Now, faith is this substance. Okay? And if I would apply that understanding, because through faith, I understand. What do I understand when faith is active? That even the worlds were what? Listen at this. Please look at this. Good God, this is good. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed before they were created. They were framed. I'm a builder, and I understand what framed means. See, as a builder, you would go and you would frame the thing. You would have an outline of support. God, this is good. You would have an outline of support for the thing that you want to finish. And he said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, you're looking for manifestation, and you haven't understood the frame yet. The frame is supposed to look like the support structure of the thing that you desire. If you don't have the support structure of the thing that you desired finished, it's going to be hard to get the manifestation of what you want because you don't have anything to put it on. You have no support for it. If you're going to build a house what has to hold the roof up to protect the people in the house is going to be the frame of the house. Once you get the frame of the house, you can get partitions so that you can have different rooms in the house. But if you don't have the frame up, there is no support for the roof. There is no protection for those that abide in the house. Through faith, we understand there is a framing that must be done first. I just don't go and blab it and grab it. I have to cause it to be made on the inside of me, framed on the inside of me, have support structures from the inside of me, so that then there is no way you can stop it from being made manifest, because the frame, I see the structure is still in place. I hope you're getting this. See, when the structure is in place, I can now decorate. I can't paint the walls, beloved, if I don't have the frame up. I cannot make the water go to the place I want the water to go to if the frame is not up. The electricity will not go to that room because the frame is not up. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So then I would ask you, in your life, in your situation, what have you framed by the word of God? We ain't even at the point of asking yet. This, what he just said is, we understand, faith gives us this understanding that the framing is got to be primary. Okay? I mean, again, my builder information comes in. As a builder, when I'm making the frame, one of the things that's paramount in the framing is I have to have the support structure, the rock, the foundation. If I don't have the foundation, my frame can't stand up no way. You remember that in Luke chapter 6. He said, a wise man is going to be a man that hears the word. Come on, y'all, this is just good. I'm giving y'all a line upon line, precept upon precept. He said, a wise man is a man that hears the sayings, hears the word, and then digs deep into a rock. He has to get a foundation. He digs deep into a rock so that the foundation is settled. Then the framing can be accurate, it can be connected to the foundation, and then the whole house can be built. And it says when that house is built, it don't matter about storms, it doesn't matter about wind. It says wind, okay. Hold your finger here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to come back. I want you to see this. I just want you to see these things. See? Because again, if you don't get it, if you don't understand step one, step two, then what are we doing? Go to Luke chapter 6, I believe it is. Luke chapter 6, starting at, this teaching is so good here. Okay, starting at verse 40, I'm going to bring these points in, starting at verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Wait a minute. Every tree is known by what? Its own fruit. So if you got bad results in your life, your fruit is telling you what type of tree it is. You got a bad tree. A good tree does not bring forth bad fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Don't blame Desinex. It's your own fruit, he said. All right? For thorns men do not gather figs, neither bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He brings it forth out of the good treasure. The frame has to be in place. Did you see that? If I don't have the frame up, I don't have anywhere to store the good treasure, do I? Okay? Kind of connect the dots here. Bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For, because out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why do you call me Lord and don't do what I tell you to do? That's a real question, y'all. Because we're going to, you know, say, well, I asked God for this. He said, no, don't go to me as Lord if you're not going to do what I say. So what are you saying, Lord? He's about to tell you. For whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man that built an house and dug deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. And he says, and when the flood arose and the stream vehemently beat upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he says that if you're going to want a house, if you're going to want results, covering, protection, then if you're going to be a wise man, you will dig deep upon a rock and make your foundation there so that we can get to the frame, so that we can get to separations of rooms and locations of items in the room, bathtub, toilet. See, all of those things come out of the frame that you put in place. I'm hoping that you're following me here. See, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were done this way. God has a frame first. So that means he had to have a plan in order to make the frame. Is that correct? Everything goes according to. See? So God is wanting us to just, if things are not working, if things are not flowing, then you got to ask yourself some questions. Am I the wise man that dug deep upon the earth and found the foundation stone? Or am I a person that just heard the word and built upon the earth? I know I needed a house, so I started building because I needed a house. No, you need to have a house that's going to stand. Because when the flood came, when the wind came, it could not shake that house because he did it correctly. Okay? Just something for you to kind of know. You know, ask the questions of the Lord that your heart needs to be answered, needs an answer for. Ask those questions. Lord, am I doing this right, or am I just doing it? Am I the wise man, or am I the man that is a foolish man, thinking something's going to work, but I haven't done step one, step two, and step three? It says that when the man was foolish, it says that the destruction of that house, the ruin of that house, the results of that house, first it fell. And it fell when? It fell immediately. And falling was not the bad part. It says, and great was the ruin of that house. Come on, man. I need for you to see the word "and" wasn't just thrown out there. The falling of the house is guaranteed. But now, because you have none of the things that you should have because the house was built to keep you protected, now you're going to endure great ruin. I mean, not just a little bit of trouble, y'all. Help me. I'm looking at the words. It says the house fell. It fell immediately. And then the ruin was a long time coming. Great ruin. Not one thing went wrong. Everything. Come on, y'all. There are times in our lives that we've lived in this dispensation. We didn't do the wise thing. We needed it now, so we just did what we needed to do. We just built on the earth. We built on the situations. Come on now, y'all, look at it. You built on the situation. You didn't build on the word. I need to do something, so I'm going to do something, because something's better than nothing. No, you need to dig deep. Find the rock. Ain't no sense in building if I haven't found the rock. This is all preliminary stuff, y'all. I ain't even got to the message. Okay? I'm trying to teach so that you can live it out day by day. Through faith, go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay? This is the way God does it. He frames it. He contemplates over and over and over. He doesn't just have a knee-jerk reaction that something's got to happen. He says, okay, where is my frame? Where is my foundation? Yeah, I know. He knows he is the foundation. He has the ability to make it change even if it was on a bad foundation. Okay, he could. He doesn't do that, but he could because he is God. Got that. But he's asking us to make sure, wise man, to build the house upon a sure foundation. See? That's what he's asking us to do. So through faith, we understand, again, underline, highlight, stars, circle. Through faith, we understand. In fact, you can say that. Say, through faith, I understand. You will no longer try to understand through intellect. According to Scripture, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you want the now faith working in your life, then you have to understand through faith. Put your intellect on pause. You can tell, okay, again, according to the Scripture that we just looked at in Luke, you can tell which one you're building on because immediately the thing that you did not build correctly, it's going to fall. Not sometime after a while. No, he said immediately. See? So then if it's going to fail immediately, then you should be able to change immediately, shouldn't you? You should be able to know. No, this ain't going to stand. Okay, Lord, I repent. I'm just sorry that I was trying to do things in a hurry because I was building on the circumstances. I was trying to make them move, and so I was trying to get away from them. No, no, no. I need to be the one. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. So I'm going to build because I'm already safe. Jesus makes promises. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then once I build on that, I could take my time. Okay, come on, y'all, please. If I hear what he said, then the pressure of the moment doesn't make me move, does it? I understand through faith, not through pressure. He didn't even say, according to this scripture, he did not say that I learned through trial and error. By faith, I understand. Okay? And then I get it. I say, okay, I understand that the worlds, all of them, were framed by the word of God. And what does that mean? So that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, when I understand through faith, then I don't look at what I see. Because the things that, come on, read it with me, read it with me, read it with me. So that Through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You're not trying to, that's good, sir. You're not trying to make the best of a bad situation. That would be working with things that do appear. Can you see that? See, if that's my mindset, I'm only dealing with things that do appear. See? And I need to train my heart. No. I understand through faith, not through experience, things that do appear. That's not where my understanding comes from. Do I see the things that appear? Evidently, he just told me my eyes worked so that things that are made, things that are seen, he told me my eyes worked. But that's not how it got here. It got here because it was framed by the words of my mouth. If I keep saying the bad things that I don't want to have happen, I am framing the bad things that I don't want to happen. I'm having confidence. That's what faith is. Confidence, pistis, the understructure of, the underpinning of. I'm having confidence in the things I don't want to have happen. Therefore, I am framing my world with those words. Okay, I just kind of like want you to see there is a explanation for some of the things that have gone wrong. It's I, by fear, was building because by fear I made my frame. Amen. Old me, whichever one works. I mean, we can see time and time again that we would have a knee-jerk reaction and we would do something because of the fear that the thing that did appear. You know the acronym for fear, right? It's false expectations appearing real. They did appear. And I thought they were real. But I'm supposed to get my understanding through faith. And then because I have my understanding through faith, I will then frame my world with his word. When you frame your world with his word, you have guaranteed results. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, I frame my world by that word. See? So then the thing that I'm expecting, I've already got the framework of it built. I can see myself living in the house because the frame is already up. I can start changing things. God has given us the imagination that we're supposed to use the imagination the right way, not the wrong way. I'm not supposed to use my imagination from the place of fear. I'm supposed to use my imagination based on the word of God. That's what's supposed to activate my imagination. As a believer, my trust should be steadfast, unmovable. It should abound toward every good work. Oh, come on. It says that my faith should abound toward the good work. My faith or my belief system should not gravitate toward the thing I don't want. It should abound toward the good work. Because I've taken the time to frame it out by the word of God. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. My frame is sure. I can walk around the house without the finishes being in there, and I can make changes then, can't I? I can say, okay, good, this is going to be that room. Oh, wow. I didn't notice how much room how much space that was going to take up in that room. I need to make this room a little bit bigger. I change my framing, interior framing, preferably. If I change the outside, I have time to put new footings in and change it from the outside. But I can do that because I can see the finished result because of the frame. God did that with your life. He's framed your life with his word. And when you don't listen at his word, understand and believe his word, you live in a condition that causes you not to be able to enjoy what he intended you to enjoy. That's why he has new mercies every morning. He allows you to go back and reframe. Glory to God. He's not upset because you found out it wouldn't work. He just wants you to go back to the place of framing so that when you finish framing, you can now build correctly. Adding on still has to go to the framing. I know a lot of you might not have been builders, and I know that it's easy for me to see. Does it take longer? Probably so. But the result is now forever, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter about the winds. It doesn't matter about the rain. Because it beat on that house vehemently, but it did not shake it because it was built upon a rock. Through faith, I'm just trying to get, this is again, this is preliminary, because those things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Okay, come on, y'all, come on. He just said that these things happen so that you would understand how to make it good. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. It says, by faith, when you understand the way God has laid it out, when you understand to build your world by framing them on the word of God, then it says you will have a more excellent result. You just don't build because it's time to build. Well, God is demanding something. Well, no, if I don't have an understanding through faith, I should not be building. Then go back. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. Stay with it until that flows. God says, in chapter 8 of Proverbs, he says, I give understanding. I give it. He didn't even, come on, y'all, come on now. He didn't even sell it. He gave it. Amen. He's not making you earn it. He's wanting you to desire it. Didn't he say, cry, say unto wisdom, you are my sister? Have conversation with wisdom. God knew you didn't understand. That's why he sent his word so that you would have the ability, the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of his word. It's going to bring understanding. Through faith, we understand. And because we understand, we can then frame our worlds. Okay, I just see that. He said worlds. That tells me I can be working on multiple worlds simultaneously by the framing of the word. I can frame my healing, which will frame my prosperity. I can frame my healing, which will cause my prosperity to be framed, which will cause my peace of mind to be framed. I can frame multiple worlds simultaneously. Glory to God. See, I don't have to just, God is trying to get you there with the speed and accuracy that's necessary for your deliverance. But if I start working and I recognize that this part of my world is not correct, I can work on that simultaneously. I just seek wisdom. I say unto wisdom, you are my sister. I can even get better than that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Jesus has been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. Glory to God. He done made it closer than sister. He done made it me. He put it in me. Whew. How about that? That's how much he wants you to win. See? He wants you to be able to function in this all the time. By which, verse 4, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he could not see death, but when he was found not, because God translated him. But before he had this translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. This is where I was going with Mary and Martha, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Okay? So you have to believe it's an active positioning in Christ. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, not believe that he will be, not believe that he might do, believe that he is. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, those things were completely out of position, completely not working, dead, yet shall he live. See, it's incumbent upon us to take God's word. The glory of God is supposed to be revealed through us. We were crowned with it. It's on board. See? David contemplated this. Okay, all of this was just to get you to, okay, I'm sorry, let me finish the scripture. Must believe that A, he is. You got to believe that he is. That's A. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, this is not for the faint of heart. This is for those that will not give up, cave in, or quit. These are those that diligently seek him. These are those that understand that worlds are framed by the word of God. And once I get through with the framing, then I can go to the closing in. I can go to the thing that we call drying in the property. See? Now I can be, I can continue building protected. Oh, glory to God. Because once I get the framing done, the next thing we do is we dry the house in. That means we make sure that the outside no longer comes inside. Oh, God, did you hear that? We make sure that the outside no longer comes on the inside. So then I separate myself from all of the information from the outside. Glory to God. If I'm going to understand through faith, then I have to separate myself from the information that was on the outside. All of the things that told me I can't do, you won't do. I have to separate myself from that. I can draw myself in. We're in this shelter in place thing right now. See, well, while I'm inside protected, I can now rebuild the inside.
I can remodel some things. Things were out of place or were not in the best. I can now take this time and remodel and begin to understand through faith. Instead of understanding through fear, understanding from anything that was on the outside, I am protected from the outside elements. So then I got to stop going back out there and trying to bring that in the house. I don't need that in the house. Why? Because through faith, I understand that worlds were framed. God has given you an opportunity, beloved, to go back and make things right so that you will know they're right. I'm not the one judging you. Glory to God. I'm not in your house. Hello. Amen. See, I'm not your home inspector. Holy Ghost is going to do the inspector. In fact, it said, even beyond that, it said a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. You don't have to worry about inspection. It'll be plainly and clearly seen. Because you'll bring forth that which is good. Wise man. Wise woman. See? These are the things that God is asking us to do, and particularly as we go through all of the challenges that we're facing day by day now. God, again, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. God wants you in a safe place. He wants you in a place that functions every day, regardless of the storm. Come on now. That's what Luke chapter 6 said. It said that the wind did come. The storm did come. 19 was outside. But it didn't shake the house. Glory to God. See, COVID-19 is a name, and every name that's named in the earth, under the earth, is going to be coming bowing to the name of Jesus. I live in that house. I'm safe. I don't have to be fearful. Why would I need to be fearful? Please help me. Why would I need to be fearful if he told me I'd be safe? Come on now, help me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Why do I need to be fearful? I'm in the house. I'm connected to the Savior. And while I'm in the house connected to the Savior, I'm getting my understanding through faith. Because when I get my understanding through faith, then I'm going to be able to do what he told me to do. Because after you get in the house and get the understanding, now go ye therefore and teach other men how to live this same way. How to observe to do all the things Jesus told you to do. How to get your house built through faith by understanding. How to be able to teach them to dig deep till you find the rock. I can teach men that then. Because they're going to be living in this, glory to God, please. Oh, here it is. They're going to be living in the same storm that you're living in. Please hear what happened in Luke chapter 6. It said that the storm came to the house. They were living in the same storm. Our job is to be able to, by faith, get the understanding so that I can show them how to live in the same storm. Not under, glory to God, not under the storm, beloved, in the storm. He didn't move the one that was wise out of the storm. Did you just see that? He did not move him out of the storm. The storm beat on the house vehemently. The winds and the waves, they were there. The storm was present. But it didn't shake the house because it was built on a firm foundation. Through faith, we understand. See, I'm giving you blueprints that you can go back and rehearse over and over and over and say, wait a minute, my house was shaken. I know my house was shaken. I can tell my house was shaken because I was kind of fearful. I was thinking that this wasn't going to work or that wasn't going to work. I mean, just help me again. Look at Luke 6:48. See, this is what it's for. The word of God is been sent to us so that we can give instructions because our testimony has been proved. Read it, 48. Well, 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and when the stream beat vehemently upon that house and it could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. That's a wise man that does that. Didn't take him out of the storm. You know, I guess sometimes we think that we want to go around every problem. No, God wants you to be able to be sustained in the problem. In fact, this is Jesus' prayer. Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you would keep them away from the evil that's in the world, above the evil that's in the world. How about that? See, Jesus didn't even say, well, let's get them out of here. He said, no. Lord, I don't even pray for that. I don't want you to take them out. I need the testimony seen. See, because we're supposed to be the ones that all things are going to work together for our good. I know. We hear that scripture. All things work together for our escape. Now he says that the things are going to work together for our good. They're going to continue to connect with the faith that God has given me, the glory that God has deposited in my life. And you're going to see a different result. The wind beat not a little bit. Come on, y'all, help me out. He didn't say there was a shower in one man's house and a storm in another man's house. Both of them had the same storm. But the difference was because he built through faith, because he understood. It says that it could not shake. Okay, come on, y'all. Come on. It didn't bother the man at all. It could even shake the house. Amen. The man is so protected because he's inside a house that will not be shaken. He ain't there popping popcorn and enjoying the presence of the Lord. You don't see this man cowered down in the corner. Oh, God. No. I already know. I dug deep and I built upon a rock. So while you're in isolation, shelter in place, go ahead and start digging deeper. Shore up that foundation. Be able to know that this house that's being built will not be shaken. That's why you can hear of Psalms 91 when it says that 1,000 fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your right hand, 1,000 at your left, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Why? Because I built my house upon a rock. I dug deep. I didn't just get a surface just because I heard a promise and it sounded good, and I'm going to make that my place of, I'm going to make that my place of a habitation. No. No, I dug deep. I dug deep with the expectation that the house is going to receive storm conditions, and yet the house is going to stand. The house will not be shaken. God's given us another opportunity to do that. He's given us an opportunity to live in victory and thereby invite people into that same victory. People don't want to come into a place where you are as scared and as worried as they was when they came in. They need to know that you are connected to the God of the whole universe. They need to know that you've got a sure foundation. This is how you turn things around for the glory of God. That's why it says in Isaiah 60 verse 1, I'm sorry, it says, arise, shine. It said, arise, shine. It didn't say be cowered down. It said, arise, shine. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. People need to see victory in the midst of confusion, chaos, and destruction. And God told us, arise and be light. Arise and shine. Because the difference that you're going to display is the glory of the Lord that is risen upon you. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? Can God count on you to allow his glory that's been deposited to be seen? Or are you going to try to hide the glory in fear, worries, anxieties? Well, God's not mad at you because of it. He's calling you out of a place of worry and fear, dread and apprehension. He's calling you unto a place of faith, because through faith we understand. Your testimony is because of a God that is faithful, a God that does not fail, give up, or quit on you, a God that is able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. Your God is the resurrection and the life. When we believe on the Most High God, we get results that are above average. We get results that are not mediocre. We get results that were guaranteed, because his thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace, thoughts that would give us an expected end. Your way? Or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you that you've given us understanding through faith how to stand, how to approach victory, how to build and enjoy your goodness in the land of the living. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to repent if we've been building in an unwise manner. if we've been building on circumstances and not building upon the rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. Thank you for sending your word to us, a word that will settle us, a word that will bring us to the place of giving glory, honor, and praise unto our God. Thank you, sir, for what you're doing in us, with us, through us, and by us. We ask for it is done right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and see if there's any questions or comments about the ministry tonight. So I'm going to give the mic over to area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments on today's ministry? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we thank you for being on the call. And now we'll go to area code 352-870-0667. You have the mic. Area code 352-870-0667. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry from tonight? Amen.
Yes,
okay, go ahead.
I appreciate the lesson tonight. It was a confirmation for me for this step that I'm in right now. And I thought I was being too, you know, people say, oh, it don't take all that. And yes, it does, and it is. And this was got me this far, and this same grace is going to lead me on until my destiny. So I'm thankful for
Amen.
It. And I appreciate you, brother.
Amen. 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 Glad to do it. That's what we're here for. Amen. Amen. It's very interesting how people try to stop you from going to your place of destiny because they don't want to do the work that's necessary to get out of the mess that they're going to be consumed by. You know, I just don't really see how that justifies. Just because I don't want to do the work don't mean I should stop you, you know. Let you do what's necessary because the word of God is alive. So you can't just be over here in the cone and expect the word to be alive. It has to be displayed. Amen. Thank you for being on the call. Area code 770-719-9104. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry from tonight? Go ahead.
Just a comment to thank you so much for bringing us back to home, because there's nothing like faith. And with every word that was spoken tonight with confirmation to, I'm like the person before me, with confirmation to the walk that needs to be walked. It's not about the talk. It's the walk that needs to be talked. Walk. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Glad to do it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being part of the talk. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's the walk. A vain word does you no good and does not give a testimony to God, does not give a witness to God. An empty word, that's what a vanity, that's what it is, means that which is empty. It does no good for God. People are needing answers. They are needing people that have purposed in their heart that they're going to dig deep and have a foundation on a rock, and then when the winds blow and when the rains come, the house will not shake. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being a part of the ministry today. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then you can go to the website and find the donate tab, and you can give. If the word of the Lord has been a blessing, then show us
the appreciation that you have for God sending messengers into your life that will impart faith, that will impart hope, and that will give direction so that you can end in victory every time, all the time. So you can just go to livedeliverance.com, find the donate tab, and you can give there. And so until the next time that we see you in the spirit, we just wish that you would enjoy God's favor, God's best each and every day. Love you. Shalom.